Jesus, what a friend for sinners.
A verse in the book of Job seems especially appropriate as we near the end of this two-week study on the attributes of God. Job chapter 22, verse 21 reads, "Acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace. Thereby shall good come unto thee." Welcome to Sovereign Grace Today with Michael Goins. I'm Ken Sargent. The biblical portrait of God that has emerged through this concentrated study of the Word has, I trust, exercised such a salutary effect on your heart. Indeed, when an individual has a biblical understanding of the divine character, his heart is at peace. Every problem pales into insignificance when it is viewed in the light of God's glory and grace. To continue then this very helpful study, here's Michael with today's message on the love of God.
Thank you, Ken. On today's program, I want to look at a verse in 1 John 3, verse 1 as my text. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." The Apostle John, in this wonderful and thrilling verse of Scripture, calls upon us to behold what manner of love. Now, the expression "what manner" means what foreign kind of love. It's the same thought that we find in the Gospels when the disciples asked, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey him?" When Jesus spoke, the storm was calmed immediately, and they said, "We've never met anyone like this before. What manner of man is this?" This is a foreign, out-of-this-world kind of Christ. And the same is true of the love of God. God's love is unlike any other kind of love with which we are familiar. Perhaps the strongest kind of love that I can identify with is a mother's love. But Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15 asks this question, "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb?" Now, I would ask you that question today, my friend. Can that happen? Well, it's rare. But periodically we hear news of a mother who's abandoned her baby. Yes, it does happen from time to time, but it is so rare because a mother's love is a very strong tie of nature. But the Lord says, even though that can happen, yet will I not forget thee, for I have graven thee, that is, I've inscribed you upon the palms of my hands. You see, the love of God is even greater than a mother's love. It is a foreign, out-of-this-world, alien kind of love. What manner of love? John wants us to look at the amazing love of God, the love that the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And may I suggest, my friends, this is truly the wonder of wonders. Have you ever been surprised that God could love somebody as vile as you? Yes, my friends, this is the wonder of it all. Now, like holiness and power and grace, love is an essential character trait of God. Looking forward into the next chapter, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, we read, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." No doubt that expression is one of the most well-known expressions in the Bible. God is love. Now, I want to say some things about that. First of all, that verse does not say love is God. Today, we're living in a culture that has deified love. Actually, they have elevated physical passion and mistaken it for love to the level of adoration. But the verse does not say love is God. It says God is love. Now, the Bible tells us other things about God besides that. In fact, this same letter, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, says God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So the verse does not mean that God's love is something sentimental or indulgent. Love does not mean that God is soft on sin. His love is a holy love. It's not the milk toast kind of sentimentality that is so common today. But God's love is the expression of His goodness toward His people. Now, primarily when we think of the love of God, we're thinking of the expression of His goodness toward His people. This verse that says God is love means that God seeks the welfare of particular individuals. In other words, in His nature, He is not malicious and cruel or vindictive. Neither does He adopt an indifferent attitude toward men. On the contrary, He deals bountifully with His own. As power is described as the arm of God in Scripture, and as His wisdom is spoken of in terms of His mind, who hath known the mind of the Lord, love is the heart of God. But again, it's not a sentimental or indulgent expression of emotion, but it's an expression of His goodness toward His people. You see, love in the Scriptures is God's desire to bless His people, not because they are lovely or lovable, but because it is His sovereign pleasure to do so. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 8. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. Now Moses is talking to the children of Israel, and he says, God has not marked you out as His own because you were the most impressive nation. In fact, you were the smallest and the least impressive nation. But he says, the Lord set His love upon you because the Lord loved you and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers. Now, this puts the whole concept of the love of God into a different framework from which we are usually accustomed to thinking of it. God's love is not a victim of the emotion in this verse, but it is a decision of the will. You see, God set His love upon you because it pleased Him to do so. The fact is, the Bible teaches us that God loves His people in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's best for us to think of God's love like this, not that He just fell madly in love with a vile, depraved sinner like me, but the fact that He determined to show goodness to me, to bless me because of His love for His own Son. You see, the Bible teaches us that the elect family of God were a love gift from the Father to the Son. God gave a people to Christ before the foundation of the world as an expression of His love for His Son. And He determined to save them so that they would bring everlasting worship and honor to the Son. And this is the sense in which God loves me. Yes, the little child can sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But let us always remember, it's not that the Lord loves me because I'm so lovable. The Lord, in fact, loves me in spite of myself. He loves me even when I'm unlovely. This is what grace is all about. My friends, because He has been pleased in His sovereign will and purpose to set His love upon a people, He delights to enrich and to bless His own. He deals bountifully with them. Psalm 84, verse 11 says, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He will give grace and glory, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Now this verse indicates the heart of God. It is God's heart to delight to bless His own. He will not withhold any good thing from them. He's not capricious. He's not unkind. He is not cruel and malicious. He does not afflict willingly, says Lamentations 3:33, nor grieve the children of men. That is, God is not arbitrary. He does not take some sinister delight in allowing suffering and affliction to touch our lives. But the fact is, the heart of God is a heart of kindness and a heart that is not indifferent at all, but is very meticulously concerned to bless and enrich His own. In fact, God manifests his love to his people in several ways. First of all, in the many daily blessings that he bestows upon us. Psalm 68:19 says that the Lord daily loadeth us with benefits. And the psalmist says, blessed be God for his daily benefits. I want to ask, is your wagon loaded down with blessings from the Lord? Perhaps you're listening to me today and you say, preacher, all I have are burdens. I don't have any blessings. Well, I want you to look again. Take a few moments to count your many blessings. Try to enumerate and specify how good the Lord has been to you. Has he blessed you with a reasonable degree of health? You say, well, I have bad headache. Well, think about it. Has he blessed you with a reasonable degree of health? Has he blessed you with family? Maybe godly parents? Maybe a godly companion? Maybe happiness in your home? You say, well, we've had a lot of problems. Well, who hasn't? But have you had good times? Have you ever been able to enjoy a sunset or a bird's song? Have you ever felt hope revive as springtime arrived? Have you ever been blessed with good friends? What about an understanding of the gospel, the opportunity to worship him, answered prayer, trials and burdens lifted, and the Lord's presence with you, even in the darkest moments of life? Think about all of these blessings. He daily loads us with benefits. How good is our God to his people? Secondly, think of the gentle way that he deals with us. That's an evidence of his love. Psalm 103, verse 14 says, he remembereth that we are but dust. He knoweth our frame. You see, the Lord always deals with us in tenderness. Now, maybe you're right in the middle of a severe trial in your life, and you would say with the prophet Jeremiah, he hath grabbed me by the nape of the neck and shaken me to pieces. We feel like that sometimes, don't we? We feel like the Lord is tearing us to pieces. He's set me up as a mark for the arrow and broken my teeth with gravel stones, says Lamentations chapter 3. Yes, indeed, my friends. But I'll tell you, as you look back on those experiences, can you not say, his grace was sufficient for me, that even in my weakness, he showed his strength. He helped me through it. I thought it was going to be the end of me, but he gave me strength as my day. And he brought me through. And as I look back with 20/20 hindsight, I can say the Lord has been very gentle and tender with me in my life. He knows my frame. He has remembered I'm but dust. Then think of his patience and long suffering in your life. That's an evidence of his love, my friends. Turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Listen to verse number 12. The prophet Isaiah says in this passage, the Syrians before, the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all this, God's anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Later in verse 17, he says, the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither shall he have mercy on their fatherless and widows, for every one is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Twice more in this context, we read that even though God is angry, his hand is stretched out still. My friends, I dare say if the Lord had been as short-tempered with us as we are sometimes with those who trespass against us, we would have been consumed a long time ago. The very fact he has been so long-suffering with you and with me is an evidence of his love. But far and away, the greatest manifestation of the love of God is the cross of Jesus Christ. 1 John 4:7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And he says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, not that we loved him, but that he loved us, and he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we should live through him. Oh, yes, my friends, love is displayed at the cross. What manner of love has God bestowed upon us to make us part of his family? That kind of love should constrain us to keep going, faithful to the end, for it is amazing love.